The Defense Department is starting a new long-range research and development initiative. It's intended to deliver technologies capable of providing the next generation of dominance on the battlefield. Now, a similar initiative in the 1970s resulted in the creation of technology offsets like smart munitions, stealth aircraft. Stephen Welby is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Systems Engineering. He explained what separates this initiative from DOD's normal R&D spending.
We're asking a different question in this effort, and one is that recognizes that the world is changing around us, that we see technology moving at a much faster pace. We're concerned about ensuring that our military forces always have a technical advantage in the future. And so we're asking a question about what will be the big changes in the technology landscape by 2030, and what would be the new systems that we'd like to have in our soldiers, sailors, and airmen's hands by that time frame. And so we've brought together some of our brightest folks from across the department to look deeper, to look longer, and to think more broadly about this question, where's technology going, and how does the department make sure that our systems stay ahead of that?
How do you model these things? You don't want to state it in terms such that it would not be possible. Like if you wanted to say, well, we want to make every soldier invisible, and when they march on the battlefield, well, you know, that can't be done. So how do you keep it realistic and yet also stretching?
Well, there's a couple things that we're doing. One is that we've got working for us a set of folks from across the department, from the Army, Navy, Air Force, who are thought leaders in areas and understand the art of the possible. These folks come out of our research and development community. They're strongly entrenched in current technology, and we're asking them to think beyond kind of the typical time horizons that they work, but to project forward from the things that we see today into where they might be extended to. The second thing we're doing to make sure we're well-grounded, though, is that we're reaching out to the public in a way that we probably should do more of. Back in December, we published a request for information inviting industry, academia, general public to help us identify major technology trends, new opportunities that the department should take advantage of. And we're compiling all that information for our teams. They'll be interviewing technical experts over the next few months and helping us come up with this picture of what the department's future might look like.
Now, Frank Kendall said the last similar effort was in the 1970s, and it's been widely reported that stealth technology, for example, you know, the way you coat airplanes and so on, came out of this. And so are you able to retroject on the thinking that took place prior to the emergence of those technologies and see if the same process can kind of be generated?
The previous long-range research development plan was published in 1973, and they had a remarkable crystal ball. They were at the beginning of kind of the electronics revolution and could imagine how that might change the digital content of our future systems. And so they saw the ability for us to leverage GPS to provide precision and new ways to deploy airborne cameras and radars to provide a better picture of future battlefields. And coupling all those technologies together was one of the big things that came out of that. And really, some of the insights they had in 73 reflect the way that our military does business in 2015. I hope that our crystal balls will be as clear as they were in 1973, but just having that conversation, starting to have that longer, deeper conversation about how things are going to change and what those influences will be, is going to be very important for the Department's strategic planning.
Because back then, we were beginning to see the early integration of transistors into chips, and you could imagine all sorts of things. Is there anything like that happening that you have a hunch might be possibly leading to new capabilities down the line?
We see a number of kind of interesting emerging technologies, and one of the important differences between now and 1973 is that in 73, so many of the technologies that we're interested in were being developed by the department itself. At that time, we were largely driving microelectronics, emergence of application-specific integrated circuits and other capabilities. We were driving radar systems. We were driving GPS, which was originally a military capability. Today, we see so much technology moving so fast in the commercial sector. We want to think about how the department can leverage that dynamicism, that great innovation that's going on around us, and how the department can have its eyes open to be able to better capture, understand, and leverage this much deeper technology world we live in.
We're speaking with Stephen Welby. He's Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Systems Engineering. Give us an idea of how this whole research project will be operationalized. Will there be meetings? Will there be conveners? How will it happen so that this all gets collected?
So for the next 6 months, We have working group teams that will be meeting continuously over that time frame. They'll be talking to outside experts. They'll be talking to folks from across the department. We'll be talking from folks from academia who are projecting where technologies are going. And we're hoping to have a report together here in the June or July time frame that we can talk to the secretary about and help inform his choices next year. We published this request for information to the public back in December. We're now getting information in from that, and we'll be sharing that information with the teams to ensure that they are not just looking at kind of the traditional topics that the department has studied, but are looking at this kind of broader picture coming in from the public.
And one of the things that's changed, too, since the 1970s is the diffusion of this expertise throughout the world. Back then, you know, China probably couldn't make a decent aircraft, let alone fabricate a semiconductor. Now they're highly technically advanced, as are so many other places. So does that add a dimension to this, that the technologies you're looking at are diffused all over the world, some of them mostly manufactured outside of the United States?
I think that's that part of that kind of global picture, that competitive technology environment that we find ourselves in, is one of the changes from the 70s. And we're trying to factor that into our thinking.
All right, so when will you meet? When is this going to actually happen?
So that the teams are kicked off this week. Back in December, we published the request for information, and we're getting responses in now. That'll continue going forward, and so we're going full bore. This is all part of a process by which we're trying to reinvigorate a spirit of innovation across the department, not just in kind of technology, the focus of my work, but we see the same things going on in terms of our people, in terms of how we imagine our operational concepts, in how we do things like wargaming across the department, how we do our business practices. We're really trying to re-energize this kind of deep look at how the department could think longer term and kind of refocus our business in ways that allow us to be much more productive and effective.
And have you heard from some of the major corporate entities? Are they weighing in on this?
We have, and I think we're lucky to get lots of ideas from folks. The department has been criticized in the past about not reaching out and engaging folks in long-term planning, and we're really trying today to open that aperture, to invite people in to talk to us early. We're looking out to 2030, and so I think a lot of folks are interested in kind of helping us think about those long-range futures. I'm also very interested in trying to make sure that we're not just talking to the usual suspects, that we're engaging with the commercial sector and non-traditional players as well.
That was my next question. Are you hearing from some offbeat sources or sources you never would have thought have any thinking about military affairs? Are they also weighing in?
We are, but that's something that we're trying to work very hard to increase, because it's often difficult to reach folks who are not normally engaged in your business processes. We've been trying to strip the whole effort of our typical bureaucratic language, trying to eliminate much of the defense jargon from the way we're talking to folks, because we want people who are in other business areas, who are thinking about dramatic and innovative changes and technology-driven changes, to come talk to us about how those might impact our national security.
And do you have some contractor support to make sure this whole structure stays in place as you do the research?
The intent of this is it's going to largely be a government study, and our government team will be generating a report to the secretary. We have some counter support for administration housekeeping, but the effort is largely being conducted by our government team. We invited industry, academia, the general public to come in to talk to us through the solicitation, and through that process we'll be inviting some of them in to talk to us at greater length. And we're also leveraging something called the Defense Science Board, which is a standing body, as a kind of a sounding board to ensure that we're on the right track.
And if someone wants to come forward with an idea, is there a place they can go? Is there a website if they say, I've discovered a way that you can turn a flashlight into a thing that can knock down a regiment?
Well, I'd be very interested in hearing about that. But
I don't have it, by the way. I just thought, you know, I just made that one up.
But we do, and the place for people to contact us is through our Defense Innovation Marketplace. It's defenseinnovationmarketplace.mil. And on that website, folks will see the solicitation, they'll see other information about the project, and there's ways to reach us and share ideas with us.